One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Red Men Originals podcast. I'm Steve Hoare, joined by Chris Page, Chloe Bloxham, and Dan Club in what is a very, very, very hot, warm studio. Is that fair to say, Chris?
It is very fair to say.
How are we, guys?
It's disgustingly warm.
Are we all hot?
Yeah.
Warm. I'm all right at the minute, to be honest with you. I thought it'd be hotter, but no, I'm okay.
Yeah, I am dying over here. So yeah, if I get slightly sweaty throughout the show, I can only apologise on my own behalf. It's my own fault for being overweight. We're going to be speaking about Liverpool's transfers, of course, while the window is open. The Reds have got one deal done and hopefully more to come. We're going to be speaking about midfielders in part one and then some defenders in part two. This is all based on one Fabrizio Romano tweet. We said Liverpool are working on two midfielders and the left-footed centre-back as well. So we're going to split it up. One part, I mean, thankfully to Fabrizio, he tweeted that this morning because I was struggling for ideas, I must admit, until that happened. Chris, we might as well jump straight into it then. Alexis is done. We've done a lot of recapping on the Alexis McAllister thing. What's interesting in years gone by is Liverpool's transfer targets, if they got one for the position, that was usually the end of it. But because of the situation we found ourselves in, everyone's attention. I mean, McAllister wasn't even announced. They hadn't even done the GPT song, wasn't even made yet. And already everyone was going, right, then what's next? What's next? And it's kind of understandable as well, really, because there is plenty more that still needs to be done.
That's it. I don't think, has there ever been a time where we've been so death in one area of the team that we need to attack that one area of the team? And I think because of that, it's interesting as a fan, isn't it, when you're looking at it and then all these names are sort of sprouting up and being linked to you, and it's like, well, how does that fit in with him? And how does he fit in? And if we were to sign like Kone, is Thuram the right player to be signing alongside Kone, or is it one of each of them? Are Liverpool doing their due diligence? So in that regard, it's really interesting and quite fun from a fan perspective, because I've never really been into the transfer side of things. But this summer, I'm well more into it than in previous years because there's just so many variables.
Chloe, you usually have the same ilk as well. The transfers do your head in. We're nowhere near that yet because obviously, I hope you are anyway. I hope your head isn't done in already.
But, she loves it.
Yeah, no, but it.
You love it. You love it.
Okay.
Yeah, she does.
If there's anyone in the office, like on the day we were signing Alexis McAllister, Chloe was there every three seconds. What's happening? Have you heard anything? Hey, Chris, get us the link to this article. Chris, get us the link to that article. If you got a Time subscription, if you got an athletic subscription, send us that. Da-da-da-da-da. You were like that all day, and you've been like that since the season ended.
To be fair, I was also on the show that day that really meant that I needed to find something to talk about, and that was the easy solution.
You are. You're usually up and down with the transfers, I think it's fair to say. Yeah. Until they're done, it does your head in. Where are you on the midfielders? Are you okay?
Yeah, we've signed one. I'd like Kefren Thuram to speed up the process a little bit. I'm not too sure who to believe. I'd like that to speed up as quickly as possible, but obviously he's away on duty with France, isn't he, for the unders. Yeah, I'm all right with it. I'd like two more midfielders and a left-footed centre-back. So me and Liverpool are on the right track. It's just actually getting them over the line. And I'd also, can it all be done by the time I go on holiday, please, so that I can relax and don't have to...
Just when are you going on holiday?
Hopefully the end of July.
So you haven't got a date yet. So you're not giving Liverpool exactly a hard and fast date.
It's
a soft deadline.
The day that I'm pretty sure I'm going, but I'm not gonna.
Okay. If you could just finalise it with Jurgen and Jorg.
Yeah. Plus three, minus three, maybe. Yeah. Give them a little bit of a window to get it all boxed.
You don't have to worry about it on your audio. You could just not be on Twitter. That's
good one.
Be the point of that though.
Okay, fair enough.
If I'm by a pool, it's going on not Twitter, but it will be going on my Instagram.
Ah, okay.
You know,
oh, stories, you, oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then as soon as I've got a video of someone in a Liverpool kit, that
you would definitely Instagram a picture of your feet on a sunbed.
I've had worse Mondays.
You would.
No, that's not me.
You would definitely do that. Oh, office for the day. And it's just like, it's like the beach.
No, mine would very much be me nowhere in the photo, but just the...
Of the place.
Yes.
You've just caught yourself about 1,000 people on your Instagram now.
That's fine. You just can all stay away.
Yeah, I mean, probably not the right clientele you're looking for. We'll talk about the defenders a bit later. Got a couple of super chats and member chats as well, guys. We'll get to that later. I'll bring them up later on. Dan, I want to speak to you first. The latest, Chloe mentioned Thuram. He's the first one. Mm-hmm. So according to Get French Football News, there's been talks between Thuram and Liverpool. No agreements, but Nice are showing little interest in entering into meaningful negotiations. And that's the thing that has kind of been glossed over a little bit, is that no one's really thought about Nice in this. From a Liverpool point of view, it's been... Does Thuram want to come to Liverpool? Does Liverpool want Thuram? Mm. No one's actually quite figured in, well, maybe Nice would quite like to keep Kefir and Thuram.
Yeah.
That is a part. It's like, they are owned by a very rich man, Jim Wright. He's done it by Man United. Nice might just not want to sell him. Who knows? That is the third part of this.
Yeah, yeah.
With McAllister, it was pretty easy. There was a release clause, and if Liverpool activated it, they got him. We'd all probably think that Thuram would like to join Liverpool if he was given the choice, but there is a third wheel in this, and no one's really given that any consideration.
No, we haven't done, no. But as you say, there's lots of moving parts because the United takeover stuff is still ongoing. If Jim Ratcliffe does end up being the preferred bidder in all of that, the chances are, as you say, he won't want to entertain selling probably the best player at Nice to Liverpool, who will then become a direct rival of his other club, essentially. But I think what it is, I think it's because when it's not PSG, we all just expect French clubs to sort of bend over and say, oh, you take him then. You know what I mean? Because we financially have that sort of power in the Premier League. We just expect to go there and cherry pick who we want and it'd be dead straightforward. But you're right, it looks like it might not be that easy this time. But I think ultimately, when a player expresses his interest in joining a football club and that football club wants him, they tend to get done, them sort of deals. I'm hoping that's the case this time around as well, because I am well and truly all in on Kefir and Thuram. Like, I'm sold by him becoming the next one through the door after McAllister, because as you said earlier, in terms of Liverpool haven't needed to do this sort of business in recent years, because normally it's like we sign that one player, Alisson fixes the goalkeeper situation, Van Dijk fixes defence. This is a lot more than this, so we need to keep going and going and going. And McAllister's done for me. If Thuram's next, I'd be over the moon.
On that case though, there is, like I say, Liverpool should be able to get a player out of Nice. You know what I mean? Really, you should. That's what big clubs do. You know, with all due respect, you go and get players out of it. What it might just be is that it might not be the cheapest deal, it might not be the easiest deal to get done. The fact that Chloe referenced, well, he's away on under-21's duty, he might be there till mid-July. Well, first week of July, the finals, the 8th. There's a chance France go very far for obvious reasons. They've got a very talented squad. The fact that McAllister's in the door, does that mean that Liverpool can be a bit more patient? I know Jürgen, no. Jürgen has said he wants everyone in early doors, but Thuram's away anyway. So even if they signed him tomorrow, he won't be back on pre-season on day one because he has got this Euros.
No, but I think your manager, our manager, wants to be able to plan.
Yeah.
And he wants to know at least who is going to be there, because it's not, I think I'm right in saying it's July the 11th when all the internationals come back anyway. So he actually probably would be coming back for around that date, wouldn't he? So
well, the final's the 8th of July, though, mate. They're going to have to time off, aren't they?
No, yeah, of course. There's going to be a couple of days, but the manager needs to know who he's got to work with. He needs to factor in what he's going to be doing. You know, if he's not going to be able to get his number one target, because McAllister's gone now, so the number one target probably is Kefram Thuram. He needs to know if he's getting his number one target now or his number two target. That's just how he wants to play it, I reckon, and wants to plan for the future. So yeah, he's not going to be able to join us, but then our entire squad's not joining us till the 11th of July. We want everything done, I think, by the 1st of July at the latest, so Jürgen can properly plan forwards for it. But what the interesting thing for me is, I'm a little bit shocked, I suppose, to move the conversation sideways a little bit here. I'm a little bit shocked that we're being so heavily linked with three midfielders. I really thought that Liverpool probably, up until maybe a week, 2 weeks ago, would probably go two midfielders in the centre-half. Is anyone else a little surprised by just how much of a focus there has been on three?
I thought four was more likely than two.
Okay.
Because we've just let three go. I think the Bacetic thing has scared them as well, because I think the fact that they played him and he got injured straight away and broke, I think maybe they'll think we need to be a bit more careful on these numbers. If you run Curtis Jones, he had injury issues. Harvey Elliott, young fella, Bacetic, you might just run them into the ground. I think it is a case of numbers. I also think the fact that Henderson, by the end of last season, was knackered, didn't look great at all for being here the poor season. I thought it would be the other way around. I actually, if it was two, I'd have been disappointed with two. I agree with the defender stuff we're going to talk about in a minute, but I think...
I give you my source of thinking here, right? Again, it's just thinking out loud type of stuff, but I think if Liverpool sign three, we might let Thiago go. And I don't think that's a good idea, but I do think I'm actually quite shocked that we're going for three and it looks like we're going to get three because it just seems like a lot of churn to me. And I know we've let three go. I understand that. But equally, we didn't let any squad players go apart from James Milner. You know, for the amount of minutes that Naby and Ox actually ended up getting in the second half of the season, it's irrelevant. Yeah, yeah. They've gone.
Yeah, because the flip side, Chris, is Henderson and Fabinho took their minutes. They had played far. Yeah. There's no way Liverpool next season go in and have them two playing that many minutes. My thinking is, do you get three to spread, take a bit off them? Now, Pochettino should get some of them. The rest of them, everyone's already had them. You know what I mean? There's no way Jordan Henderson should be playing as many games as he did, or minutes in particular. Fabinho starts like 40-odd games. No wonder the fella was... You mean, we're all making judgments on him, but...
And the year before.
Yeah, you've got to kind of take those minutes off him.
For me, it was three signings as a minimum in the midfield, and two of them coming straight into the first team, in my opinion. One lad, probably Fabinho, remains your mainstay, but there's still major question marks over him. But we had to sign two, and it had to be two straight through the door, ready to play in the first team for us.
And that's the thing with...
Does everyone think Thiago's safe?
Yeah.
No, I've had a few conversations around that, by the way, and everyone knows I absolutely adore Thiago, but there is a conversation to be had there because he's 32 now, very injury prone, obviously. The counter to that... Year left on his deal, yeah. So if you are going to cash in, it's now. The counter to the injury prone stuff is that with the players assigned, they'll play a lot less minutes, and can you get the best out of Thiago and a more fit and ready Thiago because you're not using him as much? Quite possibly. So there is definitely a conversation there, but I wouldn't be surprised if... You can't give him a new deal, can you? You just can't give him a new contract. So you are letting him go for free, essentially, in a year's time.
We're going to play...
He's lucky, sorry, that he's only got a year left on his contract. Because I think that's what saves him, yeah. I think the fact that he only has a year...
You're going to get 5 million quid, you might as well just keep him, kind of thing.
I also think everyone's too scared about what's happened previously with our midfield. It's better to just keep another midfielder, let him go on a free. I mean, he was hardly available anyway the previous seasons. He was there prior to last season. You just keep him, you rotate them, and you wouldn't have got loads for him anyway. We only bought him for 20, 25, was it?
He's on a big wage, that's the thing. That's the flip side. But Liverpool have just lost.
Yeah, I'm just thinking this, you know, again, this is just all not what I want to happen or anything like that, but like, it comes down to the ownership and the money side of things, and three relatively big signings, you're probably looking at a minimum of 120 on midfielders.
Yeah.
Right? Probably right now. Let's say 55 achievable deal for McAllister. Mm-hmm. You're looking at maybe another 70 spread over two. Choram's likely to be higher than that anyway. Mm. The talk is like, don't really want to go under 50, so you might get him for 45 if you're lucky.
Yeah.
Then you're already basically at 100. I think someone's got to go.
Depends
on money, and it might be wages as well.
Wages, definitely.
And this is where it comes down to for me. I think everyone's honestly like, I think I'm trying to open my eyes to what the ownership is and what they want and how they're going to balance the books. And I'm looking at Thiago on a big fat wage with a year left, thinking, I think something might happen. Not saying I want it to, but I just think something might.
Potentially, there's been no rumours of it or anything. I don't know. What they've done, I think they freed up like $500,000 a week on wages when those players left. By all accounts, if you brought, you know, McAllister, Thuram and one other in, you could probably get all three of those for like a combined like 250 odd grand. You know what I mean? Like, if Thuram comes in, there was talk that you could be paying him like 60, 70 a week with the aim of doing what Liverpool always do is, if you play well, we'll give you another one straight away. They did it with all the signings. So I understand the point. My thinking is, in my head now, I'm just going over through the numbers. So at number six, you've got Pochettino and Fabinho. Let's throw Jordan Henderson and Thiago in there. Then you've got Alexis McAllister, Curtis Jones, Harvey Elliott. Am I missing anyone so far, really?
Two signings.
That's seven. Two signings takes it to nine.
That seems quite high.
Nine is a lot. I'm with you, nine is a lot. But then the flip side is...
And is there anything for Morton here as well?
Morton's coming back to the squad. I think he goes back on loan, personally.
Yeah, maybe even sell
him. He'll get given a chance in pre-season, I'm certain of that, but I don't see a future this season for him, personally.
Yeah, it depends on how many they want to take. What role
Carvalho still exists.
He'll be on loan, won't he, you think?
Quite possibly,
it's fair, if Thiago gets sold, he's got no one else to blame but himself, really. I wouldn't, like...
Depends. You hate injured players, and I get that.
I know,
and I understand it.
It pisses me off so much.
The thing that Thiago... I think you need to have Thiago as your luxury.
Well, he could become the ultimate luxury.
Don't rely on him. Do not assume at any point in the season Thiago's going to be fit. But when he is fit, my God, what a bonus it is. But like, from Chris's point of view, you're balancing the books and you're FSG going, why are we paying this fella $200,000 a week when he can't get on the pitch? I understand it. Who's going to take him? It's the other one. I mean, there might be a big Saudi Arabia diddle to be done here, which, you know, I mean, you might be able to get a good little fee for him as well, potentially. I do understand your point. Let's move it on a little bit, because... While the general sense on the Thuram stuff, Chloe, and I had Neil Jones on this morning, and he said, from what he understands, there is something in the Thuram stuff that people like him. It was reported by Pletigo, our mate, Dan's Bezzy mate, Florian Plettenberg. He put out on Twitter on, what date was this? It was on the 10th, which was 2 days ago. There we go. I've been told that a transfer to LFC is very unlikely for Manu Kone. He's on a short list because of his interesting profile, but he's not a hot transfer target for Liverpool at this stage. It goes on to say that Gladbach would like to sell him still because they're skint and need the money, essentially. I'm paraphrasing there. He didn't actually say that. But that, to me, suggests, Chloe, that it was Thuram or Kone and not Thuram and Kone. And maybe they feel a little bit more comfortable with Thuram. Maybe they negotiate, whatever it is, they just made a decision there. Because for that to come out very similar to when we heard Thuram's advancing a little bit to Kone's gone the other way around, that's kind of the logical conclusion to draw, really.
Yeah, it was all really exciting times when they posted together, you know, after they'd been linked with us and Twitter went up into absolute flames from Liverpool's perspective. But the two different types of players, Kone seems a bit more defensive. And like we mentioned, you know, the Fabinho, Stefan Bajetic is there, Jordan Henderson, if needed to be the six. Thuram is more your box-to-box, you're more advancing, the one who, in this box system that we play... He can get in and around the area and really influence the game. He's also an absolute machine. 6'4", doesn't get bullied. So it's not surprising. I'd have liked both of them in terms of just getting loads of French players in, because I'm kind of interested in that at the moment. But yeah, it's clear to see that we've highlighted Thuram, and to be honest, I think all of us sitting here would have wanted them to be done first anyway if they were both making it to Liverpool.
And if it was one or the other, I imagine we'd all have said.
I think we've all had the conversations. I think I'm maybe on camera last week, and each one of us, certainly us three, because I remember the conversation between us, every one of us three has gone Thuram over Manu Kone all the time.
I haven't seen a lot of Kone, to be honest, and I also saw his injury record, which apparently hasn't been too bad in the last couple of years, but prior to that didn't look great. And as you know, with my hatred of people who can't get on the pitch because they're too injured, I don't think he'd do quite well if he got injured.
The thing with Kone for me, we recorded the deep dive, I think it was on Wednesday last week, and I remember saying to Josh at the time, Josh was in the same boat, that it was very much like two similar players, but I don't think that Kone actually fits this new system of ours. Mm. I don't see him as a six on his own. He's not defensive enough to be the six on his own. Perfectly capable as part of a two, but it's not a true two that we're playing with Trent in the middle there, is it? And he's not good enough in the advanced role, I don't think, either. So it felt a little odd to me, that one, and I sort of dismissed it at the time. I think because of that, because it felt like this is what we're going to do if something happened. But just groundwork more than anything.
It doesn't worry me, sorry, but the fact that, like, you know, okay, so we've got McAllister and Thuram. I still want another midfielder. In for 30 million didn't sound that bad. Who's the other midfielder Liverpool are looking at? That's what, like, and we're not going to find that out, but that's going to do my head.
There's been loads of links, though. Don't worry about that. There's been tons of them. And it might do, I suppose, though, Dan, to go back to it, is that... We spoke before, the number six, the new role, and again, this assumes a lot, we're going to be this new system, we're going to be doing it. Your 8/10s have to score.
Yeah.
Kone, very rare. Thuram doesn't actually score that many goals. No. He's got a bit in him, and he's got a bit more about him around the box with his assists and stuff. He doesn't score goals. Kone doesn't really do the same. My thinking on the Kone stuff was more, right then, if we can't get Thuram, we get Kone, and we switch a few things around and we work it out, Jordan Henderson becomes more of one of those, or Thiago, or whatever it is. Again, they might still like Kone. It might just be they've decided, listen, we want Thuram and there's someone else out there who we get to. But that is the only concern I think Liverpool have got. Well, I don't know, not the only, there's plenty of them. But at the moment in time, Jones, has scored a few at the end of the season since he moved this role, but he's not prolific.
No.
Harvey Elliott doesn't score nowhere near enough goals for his talent. Henderson never scores. You're looking at, who else are you looking at? McAllister's goal record was all right, but there was a lot of pens involved in it. That's the one thing I think, whoever it is, if he signs Sam Brilliant, I think he's got the potential to be, personally, might put, and I'll put it to you, if there is another one coming in, I thought Mason Mount would have been perfect. Goals, no, but genuinely, like, goals from that position, that right hand, whatever it's going to be, is vital, because Liverpool have lost, you know, the Mo Salah's machine. There's no Sadio Mane anymore, and Luis Diaz doesn't look as prolific as Sadio Mane was. Jota, yeah, when he's on the pitch, but he listened to the guy when he year without scoring before he got found his boots again. Darwin, don't know, maybe, maybe not. You do probably want goals in that midfield, and we are, the names being linked with, even now, I saw Lavia, there's been James Ward-Prowse stuff today, whatever, free kicks, I get it, but like, there's not many goal scoring attacking midfielders being linked, which for me is a bit of worry. How do you feel about
that? Yeah, no, I think you're right, and I think you'd be right to assume we are going to continue forward with the formation and the system that we've seen in the back end of last season. It just makes complete sense to do so, given the improvement that we've seen in our performance and, of course, Trent's performance. But yeah, I think we've signed McAllister with an eye on him improving those numbers that you mentioned there. I think he has got that in his locker, and I think we will see him develop that as he improves as a footballer, because he's still only 24. He's not quite the finished article yet. And I think that same could be said for Thuram. I've had dozens of conversations around Kevin Thuram over the past week or so. And I think one of the things that always sticks out, and you're right to highlight it, is his numbers aren't reflective of how talented he is just yet. And the one key area everyone always says that he needs to improve on and he needs to develop is that his final third stuff, is his assists and his goals. And I think a lot of it's actually come from the position he's been playing and the role he's been carrying out, because it has been a left-sided attacking ace a lot of the time at Nice. And it feels to me like if we sign him, we're going to shift him to the right-sided one, because obviously we've got McAllister in there. And the conversation I said yesterday kind of suggested that it'd suit him more, because his problem's been when it's come to that final ball, that killer pass, or indeed that shot, he's been on the left side and he hasn't been natural at taking the shot then from that point. But if he's on the right hand side, it opens up different angles and different possibilities. So I do think Thuram is the answer to that problem. You're right, we need to add goals, but I think we're going to do that, or look to do that at least, with McAllister and Thuram as the two.
It makes sense. We've got a super chat here from Mo Mohammed, who says Mount scored all his goals from the wing, not in midfield. To piss on your parade, Mo, but
to piss on your parade,
he played 178 games as an attacking midfielder and scored 38 goals. Scored 17 from 82 playing centre mid. From the wing, he scored 8 goals. So, not saying you're wrong, but kind of saying you're a bit wrong. That's the thing, is it? Because the Mount one made sense to me perfectly. And again, we don't have to go over old ground too much, but that role does need someone who can put the ball in the back of the net, especially if, like I say, Diaz might turn into a goal scorer, but he hasn't really shown. He did it a bit at the end of Porto, but for Liverpool, he's been a bit hot and cold. We don't know what Darwin is. Gakpo, maybe, we'll see. Again, he looks promising, but yeah, the Liverpool have got to make those goals up front. It can't always just be the Mo Salah show. No. Would you go along with that?
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be interesting, because obviously with the split with the five defenders and the five forwards, your goals have got to all come from the front five, haven't they, I think, nowadays. That's what we're probably looking for. In terms of, let's say, how many did Kefram Thuram get last season? Does anyone know off the top of his head?
Not a handful.
It was less than a handful, wasn't it? Something.
Two or three or something like that, and like 8 assists thrown in to the mix.
Yeah, so I know that obviously McAllister gets 4, I think, in the Premier League non-penalty goals. Like, if they could improve that to 15 between them, that's probably okay. Because when we say we need a goal scorer in midfield there, how many are we actually talking about here? Because what did Coutinho do in a season? Was it 12?
I reckon you want double digits off one. I reckon if you have one, you can get your double digits. And we're knowing, I mean, that could be, it actually could be Curtis Jones. Extrapolated over when he moved position.
This is what I was trying to move on to. We're not actually that far away in terms of the people that we've got. Because, yeah, you're probably likely to have a little bit more rotation than Coutinho's 38 games in the season where he scores 12 goals or something like that. So if you can get 1 in 3 from your attacking midfielders, that's probably not too unachievable in terms of if it was just Thuram and McAllister, Kurt Jones and Harvey Elliott in there, I think. So I think sometimes we think, oh, you know, you need goals from midfield. Yeah, you do. But that doesn't mean 20 goals from midfield. It probably means between 10 and 15 is a really good midfield goal scoring season.
Now it is. Close to move the conversation on towards the DMs. Then if Kone is unlikely, I don't know if that means there is another DM coming. If they've got their eye on someone else, I don't know. Like I said, the Lavia stuff came out over the weekend again, that there's still maybe an interest in him. Is there a concern if they don't? Because at the moment, you're hoping Fabinho gets back to somewhere near his best, which, I don't know, 29 years old, turning 30 during the season. Expecting that might be expecting a lot. Stefan Bajcetic is the next option, injured, got a stress injury because he was overplayed. There's talk that he might not be ready for pre-season, like he might take a little bit longer. We're talking about this adding the goal scoring midfielder, but does one of them maybe need, do we need a DM? Should be, because again, there aren't too many links. Lavia now, if Kone isn't likely, like we're hearing, Lavia aside, there's not too much happening on that front.
Yeah, it's hard to understand how crap Fabinho actually was last season, because he was horrific, but also he had a midfield that just didn't run next to him. They couldn't get anywhere near him. I'd like to see him in a midfield in which they actually protect him, that we keep hold of the ball well. You know, we're actually at our best, and when we're at our best, Fabinho's not, you know, chasing all over the gaff. He's winning the ball high up and setting us to go again. So it really depends. I said to give him one more season, and then at the end of next season, if he's not got any better, then yeah, you're going to have to get rid of him. The reason I said one more season is because he's got an understudy that we know has the quality. We just need to make sure that we drip feed him into the side. We can't just tell him to go and ruin his body. And also with new signings who should instantly slot into this team, hopefully Liverpool will be much better and will have legs. I mean, we need the players to go and have a break, refresh themselves. If everyone comes back well, pre-season we get correct and we go again, and we have all the fitness and everyone understands the system well, then Fabinho might actually be sound. But it was highlighted just how bad he was because of the people around him also being horrific, and his job is highlighted because is to perfect the defence, and the defence weren't getting any protection and they were crap themselves. So it is a little bit worrying. I'd like, if you could get someone on the cheap, I'd really like the idea of that. But also it's this case of, well, Jordan Henderson then comes to do the six as well, potentially, because he shouldn't be getting as many games as he usually does. It'd be nice that if we do not sign anyone, that we've got someone in the back of our minds for next season, because squad depth's obviously dead important. But also Fabinho by that time might be getting bombed out, I don't know. But also, Liverpool are in the Europa League. There'll be a lot more rotation. You can give Fabinho a rest when he needs it, hopefully, as well, which is massive.
Hopefully, yeah, you might see Stefan Bajcetic. Chris, is there any chance Alexis McAllister plays DM? He's played there, just looking last season.
No.
He played 18 games at DM for Brighton. Seven and 11 is more of an attacking player. I'm not saying he's the first choice there, but if you're playing Luton Town at home, do you go, you know what, we'll play in a more attack-minded DM, or you just
not? Not for me, no. I think, you know, you bought him for a reason. Yep. You play him in the position that you want him in. He can certainly do it. We saw him link up really well last season as part of a two with Caicedo and stuff. But I think the big thing is there, you've got other lads who can slot in when you're doing that. Listen, can he be a two with Trent Alexander-Arnold? No, probably not. Like, you know, you want him to be with a defensive midfielder because he's not a defensive midfielder himself. He's got the ability to be able to do it as part of a two and stuff and play in that double pivot. But yeah, you keep him there. The interesting thing for me with the Lavia stuff actually is, I think it's clearly a player that Liverpool like. But am I right in saying he's 19?
Yeah.
Like, you're getting into the same boat as Bajcetic. Now, if Liverpool were to sign Lavia, what does that say about Bajcetic? Yeah. Does that say we actually see him further forward?
That's the thing.
Do we see him as a normal 8 in a 4-3-3? Do we see him as one of the advanced 8s in the box midfield? Because it seems strange to me that you'd sign someone of very similar age in the same position when you clearly know that Bajcetic is absolutely brilliant in that position as well. Mm. So if you do sign Lavia, and I'm not 100% sure we will, of course, I don't think anybody is, it does say to me that there's a different plan for Bajcetic, which is, again, part of the interesting stuff of this transfer window. It's all variables and it's always fluid and moving.
What we'll say as well, Dan, is that to wrap this on the midfielders, before we move on part two to defenders, is that in years gone by, Liverpool have been able to be very selective. Mm-hmm. We get him or we get no one because we're happy. There's no one out there who's, you know, we're not settling for fourth choice because we're happy with who we've got. That doesn't feel the case. And that might partly explain the Kone interest. It's worth sounding him out because you need to know as many as possible. It isn't just saying, it's Alexis McAllister. If we don't get him, mm-hmm. we're getting no one. Or, you know, it's Bellingham or bust, because at the moment we'd have been bust. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
they've obviously, it might be that as well. That's why we're hearing so many names, like James Ward-Prowse has been linked, etc. Because they can't afford not to do it. Like, you know what I mean? That could be part of why there's so many names.
Massively so. That list, for the first time in recent sort of memory, had to be a genuine list, didn't it? Because you're right, we couldn't just say, oh, we missed out on Virgil van Dijk, let's just wait and get him in 6 months' time. That wasn't an option this time around, because we got ourselves in such a mess with the midfield that if target A wasn't available, it had to be B, C, D, et cetera, because we couldn't have another transfer window like last summer and miss out on McAllister, for instance, and then go, oh, do you know what? That's a shame. Let's see what happens then. You know what I mean? This wasn't an option at all. So that's why you're hearing Gravenberch, like you say, Lavia, James Ward-Prowse, and so on and so on. And just on the defensive midfielder stuff as well, I agree with you, Chris, on Bacetic. Maybe there is a different plan there. And also, I know there is still concerns about his injury and him not quite being back up to speed by the time the season comes around. So maybe that will explain the Lavia stuff too. But also, I think we are forgetting a little bit that Thuram started out life as a DM.
Yeah.
So he almost becomes that perhaps fourth option underneath Henderson, maybe.
Yep.
He does give you that capability as well. So say, for instance, we've got Harvey Elliott in the attacking right side at eight, and we need someone to cover Fabinho for a game, Kefren Thuram could be a guy.
Absolutely. We've got a super chat rather from David Brett Smith. He says, as it stands, how many non-homegrown players can we get if we've got an English midfielder, and who would you take? I don't think the homegrown thing is that bad at the moment, because they're not letting anyone else. If there's a couple more leaving, they'd probably have to think about it. I think the sound for now is there any English players, Chris, that obviously Declan Rice stands out head and shoulders if you're in fantasy land, maybe. I mean, maybe that's a problem in itself, that Declan Rice is a fantasy signer. Maybe Liverpool shouldn't have to worry about that, but it looks like he might be on his way to either Arsenal or Bayern. Anyone else, perhaps? He'd be my choice of, I'm guessing.
Declan Rice I've loved for ages, but he's just, I think watching the West Ham final again just reiterates that he's actually a Bosch fella. And the way he deals with like young kids at the matches and stuff like that, he's a perfect Jurgen Klopp player in terms of not just on the pitch but off the pitch. And I think he's a really big miss, to be honest, if we're not going in for him. I understand why, money and all that type of stuff, but that, I suppose, this one of the things that, you know, I answered the question before you asked, you know, how long can you wait for Jurgen to have those midfielders? And I very much matter of factly said, look, I think he needs to know. It wouldn't surprise me if the third midfielder was a little bit and wait and see what's going on in world football and see if anything opens up. Or maybe you get three midfielders in early doors and, you know, merry-go-round start to happen, and all of a sudden there's a player there that you think, oh, he wasn't available at the start of the window. I just wonder whether Liverpool...
I wonder if
there might be something about that towards the end of it as well, where it's that sort of real big lift as the season's almost kicked off, and then the transfer window goes, and then all of a sudden Liverpool are in for another one. You're like, oh, didn't see that one coming. That would be a great thing as well, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
Do you know what I'd take just on the English front? I know we've been linked with Alex Scott, isn't it, at Bristol? He's not the one for me. It'd be Jacob Ramsey at Aston Villa. I think he's boss. Good. I think he's superb.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at UH1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Really do.
Can I interest anyone in a bit of James Maddison?
No,
you can't. You can keep him. Yeah. Keep James Ward-Prowse as well, like that.
Yeah.
£50 million for him is obscene.
See you later.
Yes.
Absolutely obscene. Are they all right down there?
You're just 4 hours extra for Declan Rice at that point.
Come on,
FSG buys Declan Rice and we'd all be happy. Sounds like a good fella as well as a boss player. But yeah, in general, I don't think the homegrown things as I worried about it a little bit. But like,
I think Lavia is actually part of it, not in his terms of his English, obviously a Belgian international, but I think because he's been brought up here and came from the academy and stuff.
Vajčević has just become. I thought they were going to lose Kelleher, and then when Nat Phillips probably leaves, you'd think he leaves. There was talk about Gomez and things. It was getting to a point where it was a bit on the edge. But if you think about it, just off the top of my head straight away, they're going to keep Kelleher. It looks like Gomez stays. Trent counts now towards it, of course.
Ben Doak, maybe.
You can include if you want to.
You don't need to, though. You may as well just not have 23 in your squad because they're just freebies. That's the thing that I think if Liverpool's academy wasn't producing, we'd be in trouble. Mm. But because there's so many there that are getting game time at a young age, kind of doesn't matter.
Jones counts, Henderson's going to be about. I think they're going to be all right. You can start. You can if you have to.
Is Adjin?
No.
Homegrown?
No.
No.
But if you have to fill your quota up, what I'm saying is, if you worry, I can't bring another foreign player in, you can just register Harvey Elliott as English.
Yeah.
And then that frees another space. So you don't have to do it at the moment in time because he's under 21. But if you get to a point where you have to have someone, then it works out. So I reckon they should be just about okay. Right then, going to take a quick break from this absolute sweatbox of a studio. We're all going to take a 2-minute trip outside, I think, to cool off. In the meantime, we'll let you know about our latest competition. And this month's prize, is an absolute belter. We'll see you very shortly.
Hey everyone, before we crack on with the show, I'm going to let you know what this month's prize giveaway is. It is this, in celebration of our Bobby Firmino Best in the World 3-part documentary series coming out in June. We've got this. It's an Adam Lallana signed 18-19 home shirt. He was one of the great contributors towards that documentary. He signed it, and we're going to give it away to a club legend this month. If you're a club legend, your name goes in automatically. If you're a club captain, upgrade today to be in that prize draw.
Welcome. I thought it was 2 minutes.
He said then, as soon as he started, he went 30 seconds.
Oh, disaster. I was on my way out. I was showing Chloe the tactics board and I had to run and sit down. Right then, did not get to cool off at all in that break, unfortunately. So,
we did more work.
If anything, I ran back, which made me even sweatier. So, I do apologise.
It all counts as part of your couch to 5K, though.
It does, yeah. We walked to 5K, yeah. I am very much on the couch to 5K. I'll be the new Mo Farah out in a. Well, 2 years' time, I reckon. I've got Steve Cran every other day of me years trying to tell me to go for a run. It's awesome. Right then, anyway. Enough of me. Let's move on to the
I can't wait until we're having this conversation in a week. You fucked Steve Cran off because you hate him. Right? Because this is like when you pick a fucking song that you love for your alarm and after 6 months you hate the song and you hate the band.
There's plenty of choices on the app, though. We've got
Steve Cran, though. One of the most boring fellas ever.
That's Geordie, why I did it, though. Geordie comedian.
Sarah Millican's on it. There's a few others I can get involved with in here too as well. But I thought it'd give me... couch to 5K, give you a list of people who can like tell you when to run, when to walk, whatever. I thought, who better to tell me how to run than a runner? Well, I don't want it, with all due respect to comedians and actors, like, well, no, I don't. I want, you know what I mean, if you're going to get the best advice, get it from the best.
And what's the advice that he gives you?
It's like,
he just tells you when to run and when to walk, doesn't he?
And he encourages you.
So where's the advice?
A little bit like stretch now.
Oh, right, okay,
yeah,
so.
Give yourself a pat on the back. He goes, when the bell rings, that means you're halfway, so turn around and start heading towards your house.
And how did that work out for you?
I ignored it. I went, I carried on going.
Right.
I had to walk all the way home.
So.
No, it was clever that, because you know what it is? I managed to avoid bedtime with the kids.
Oh, nice.
Mm. Up there for thinking.
Down there for that.
Oh, yeah. Down there for jogging. Really slowly through croc stuff. Right then, let's move on. Part of that tweet mentioned before about Romano, Chris, with that Liverpool are looking at a centre back. He mentioned specifically Romano, a left footed centre back.
Get in!
Mo Mohammed sent a super chat, said Ian Doyle saying centre back isn't a priority, which is worrying. It feels to me the centre back, Chris, and I'll put it on your toes first. I think this is more. I can't see them having 5 centre backs. Someone would have to leave. You know, a bid would have to come in, and at the moment, Joel Matip perhaps is the most likely. If someone wants to take Joe Gomez, maybe that's another option, but I'm not sure where we're at with either of those. I don't see a world where Liverpool have 5 first choice centre backs. They've always gone for 4 and then a rotational, whether it was Nat Phillips or Reece Williams or whoever they could do, whatever. I mean, they just talk those two might go, and Kwanzaa steps into that role, whatever. Can you see a world where we've got 5 centre backs on the books?
I suppose so, yeah, but just because I've lived through, was it 2 or 3 years? It was 3 years ago now, wasn't it? When we had all the centre-back problems.
Missing, yeah.
So I can, but I don't know whether it's in the wording of that, to be honest, where we're, like, like the Pavard thing, I know it's unlikely that we're going to sign somebody like a Pavard, but he'd fall probably under a right back and he's be used as a centre half. And I wonder whether that's it. Whereas it's like, oh no, we don't want a straight centre half because we want a sort of dual threat, as it were, where it's maybe the centre back.
Kanji plus
a,
for City.
Yeah, plus a full back kind of role.
Yeah.
So I think that may be likely to be. I'd be shocked if Liverpool don't sign a centre half this year, this summer. Yeah, I'd be shocked. I think we need to.
I think
we absolutely need to. So, yeah, I'd be shocked. I think
I had Neil Jones on spoiler. There's a clip coming out on YouTube or a podcast later. But the word he got from Liverpool was that you can dismiss the Pavard stuff. There's nothing in it, Dan. Which again, I kind of makes sense. There was nothing about Pavard age. Anything about it really that made sense. He wants to leave Bayern to play every week. Well, yeah. And he doesn't want to be a right back. Well, Liverpool have invested so much in Ibrahima Konate, and rightly so, that they're going to stick with him. Pavard will be coming at best his backup. And you know, who knows where he's to fit in the pecking order. The next twist on this that the reports come out of Greece is that Tsimikas has got no intention of leaving either. Because what am I thinking was, do you let Kostas go and your backup left back is exactly what Chris just said. Mm-hmm. It's a left back who can play left wing. A left back who can play centre back. Nathan Ake, that kind of whatever it is. That means that in some games Robertson doesn't play, you'll have a more natural centre back in it. But again, as it stands, it would just be Liverpool adding to what's already there. They might, I don't know, but it would be moving away from the norm.
Yeah, it would be. Just on the Pavard thing, just briefly, you are right. I don't think it does make loads of sense because it would be a bit of an outlier in terms of transfers that we achieve. We tend to sign younger lads who haven't quite achieved their pinnacle just yet and they grow to that with us. But I think Pavard, in terms of positionally, would have made an abundance of sense because, like you say, you can cover the right back, you can cover the centre back. That would have been a bit of a no-brainer. And it would have been like the Thiago transfer in many ways, a little bit cheaper than you might have got him for previously because he wants to leave, etc., etc. So I think I wouldn't have minded seeing it. It doesn't like we're going to now. But in terms of what we then do, for me, it's what does Tsimikas become? Because we're already having questions sort of during the season about the lack of football he's playing and how unhappy he could be with that. And if we're going to move forward with this new system, like I think we all have the belief that we will, all of a sudden, he's the backup left back when we don't really have a left back anymore. And he's the backup left-sided centre-half, as things stand. And he doesn't suit that role in any way, shape or form because his best asset to moving forwards in the final third and his delivery from set pieces and stuff like that. So he's not quite as good as Andy Robertson at doing that role or as a left back. What is he then? What does he become? Like, I don't see where does the world way fit in anymore? Therefore, to what we're saying, I think we should sign a left-footed centre-half to come in who can play as a left-back and as left-sided centre-back because it just feels like it suits us better. Andy Robertson did a decent job at that role. Let's not get it wrong. Like, he did do a good job. I don't think it's perfect for him, if I'm going to be honest. I know he spoke towards the back end of the season about, oh, I can still get forwards every now and then. You can't. I think that's fine to say. I just don't think when we perfected the system, which we haven't quite done yet, I don't think we're going to see hardly any of Andy Robertson bombing down the left wing like we used to. It just doesn't exist anymore. I don't think it does because we're going to have so little protection by that point. We're going to be so exposed. It doesn't work. So for me, I would love us to sign a left-footed centre-half. Guardiola would be top of that list, personally. I know we like Levi Colwill, who's just spent the season alone at Brighton, obviously at Chelsea, good player. Whether Chelsea be willing to sell to us is a different story altogether. But I actually think we need both in an ideal world. I think we need a left-footed one and a right-sided one, just because Konate's injury problems, quite frankly, because he's the perfect man for that job. And he's not going to play all the time. So I think we've got a problem there. And on the point about five centre-backs, I know I'm going on now, on the point about five centre-backs, if Phillips and Rhys Williams do go, does Joel Matip not just become your fifth one?
Potentially, yeah, it's an option. It's Crossbow with the Super Chat says, I'd love Bastoni or Pau Torres to be the left-footed centre-back, and I would personally sell Matip this summer with an eye of getting rid of Joe Gomez next summer. So thanks for the Super Chat. There's two more names. A couple more will link. We mentioned Guardiola there. We had Faye Beatle said Guardiola was the player that I would like us to sign as well. There was talk about Inicio from
Sporting,
Chloe. That one, again, I don't know the validity of the links. Someone who can do left-back, can play centre-back, left-footed. The fee is probably a bit more reasonable than what Leipzig are looking at for Guardiola, where you're talking world record transfer fees by all accounts. Maybe that one's one that don't know, did that tickle your fancy? Does that one make sense as well?
It does make sense. I've not seen him as much, but like we've seen in the past, the Portuguese league has got absolute diamonds in it. Ruben Dias has absolutely smashed it out the park. He came from Benfica, didn't he, and went to Manchester City, and he's one of the best centre-backs in the league. And you look at the other talent they've produced there. We've obviously got Darwin Nunes there. We got Luis Diaz from there, but the likes of João Felix and that. And yeah, I'm looking at the other end of the pitch, but Portuguese, you know, the Portuguese league just bring up stars. I've not seen enough of them, and look, it is an adaption. And Luis Diaz probably, I probably thought Darwin Nunes might have a shorter period to get used to the Prem due to the fact that Luis Diaz just came and was like, yeah, sound, I'm here, slotted in. You didn't even notice. He became our left winger. He took Mane out of the team, Mane to become the striker. Obviously, Darwin Nunes is a different system, different player. We couldn't, he was out of the norm for Liverpool. But yeah, Portuguese league has a lot of talent in. It makes sense. Centre-back, left-footed. He's been playing in the Champions League, yet they haven't made it quite far, but he's got experience in the big competitions. So it would make sense. It's just a case of, I don't know enough about him, but obviously the scouts do.
The latest report in Portugal, Chris, it's like he won't sign a contract he won't sign a new contract until he knows there's no big move available for him, because there's been links with United, there's been links with Liverpool, I think PSG were one of the teams linked with him as well. There's been stuff about Timber, there's been this Van de Ven stuff. Yeah. There's been a lot of, Chris, like, I don't know, half reporting or bits of, like, sneaky bits about it, but there's been such a wide range of players, and it's hard to know. Agents, people just make things up. There's loads of ways. The Thuram stuff feels concrete, the McAllister stuff felt concrete, the Jude Bellingham stuff felt concrete. There's been not on centre-halves, really, that is, like, nailed on, which is, like, say, you say you'd be shocked if they don't. I wouldn't be shocked. I would like them to, and I'd be disappointed if they don't. But I can't say I'd be shocked, because there's not an ear to suggest that they're
Well, obviously it was Ian Doyle, wasn't it, that said that it's not a priority at the moment. And I think if you just take those words, yeah, well, what is the priority? Midfield.
Yeah.
Right. And at the moment, all right, Sam. So we sort our midfield out, and then it becomes the priority, maybe. You know what I mean? So I think it's sometimes, you know, the club can only do so much at any given time. They are clearly looking at a broad range of players to play the midfield role at the moment and weighing up their options. Once that groundwork's done, once those lads are through the door, I think then you try and do your other bits and pieces. Like, for me, you know, one of the things that I will say that's slightly different to maybe other people's viewpoint at the moment is I think there might be something to be done with Andy Robertson, in terms of, we've seen sort of, I think, maybe phase one of how Liverpool's going to look. I think there's going to be more wrinkles to it. I think sometimes, you know, you see a front three, unless as a very basic example, yeah, you know, it starts off with Mane on the left, Salah on the right, and Roberto up front. But by the end of their 3 or 4 years, they're moving around hell for leather. Mm. You know, Mane crops up over here, Salah has 10 minutes in the centre and all that type of stuff. I feel like there might be some way of working Robertson into an attacking threat by maybe dropping an attacking midfielder when he goes and all this type of stuff. But I think in the early days of a formation change, you just want to get them used to the basics of it, you know, the nuts and bolts of it. Learn this is what you're doing. Right, you've mastered this, let's add this to it. How does that work? Okay, brilliant, you've mastered that. What does this work? How do we get the best out of Andy Robertson? It might not be a priority, because I do think Dan's right. I think, you know, his performances were good, much better than I probably thought they were going to be in that. It doesn't suit him, but he's doing a good job. And he's such a good defender that, again, for all the problems that Liverpool had defensively towards the end of the season, it was never down the left side. It was still the right-hand side. You know, and we lauded Konate for how much he chews up ground and all that type of stuff, but there was no problems with Robertson's left hand side.
I know, I love Konate, he's brilliant. He had the odd stinker, you can't deny that. It feels weird, Dan, because I'm going to move on very quickly to part three, but I feel like there's been a slightly negatively skewed conversation, which I don't think that's it doesn't need to be, because I don't know how you feel. I don't think Liverpool are that miles away from it, to be honest. I think the midfield was such a problem that if you fix that, everything else kind of gets, it's, you know, the defence will look better, the attackers will have more options, things will look a bit better, the injury look hopefully stays on your side a little bit.
Yeah.
But we were relying on injury-prone players to stay fit, and that was one of the major problems. It's the Thiago point Chris made before, is that you can't rely on him. You just can't. we relied on Chamberlain and Naby Keita, and that was just, in hindsight, silly. And then we relied on Jota, who's had a couple of them now. We had Diaz, unfortunate. But like, I think in general, the worries aren't as mad. Liverpool, but listen, City are City, and Liverpool could be at their absolute best, which they've been twice and not beat them. But you've got a chance. Generally speaking, like, how are you with it all? Like, if Liverpool get a couple of midfielders and a defender, and you're like, Sam, we're good to go again.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you. I don't think we're a million miles away whatsoever. No, and on the point, I think it's a strange one for me. I wouldn't be shocked if we don't get a central defender. I wouldn't be. If we have the same group of defenders, but we do fix the two more midfield issues that I do believe need addressing, I'd be okay with that. I'd be able to sort of make peace with that as we move forward, because I don't think we were showing signs towards the back end of last year that we are still a force to be reckoned with when we get things right. We've still got footballers in our squad, Cody Gakpo being the latest top addition to that. Obviously, we haven't seen McAllister do it just yet. But no, I agree with you. I think a couple more midfield additions and we'll definitely be back to somewhere near our best next season. You've just got to have faith in Jurgen Klopp that he can get it right. I've got no reason to believe that he won't. Absolutely, there's no reason. Nothing's suggested to me that we should start to doubt his ability whatsoever. So yeah, I think, as you say, relying on injury-prone players is never a healthy place to be. If we've cut that out essentially already by getting rid of two of them. So that's a good fix immediately. But get a man through the door, get another one through the door, then we can work out what exactly that looks like, because there are still question marks over that for me. I said it earlier, like, Taram, his ideal role is on the left side of an eight, which is where we've signed McAllister for, so there are still little wrinkles and things to iron out there. But for me, it's about getting the bodies through the door, and then we can go from there.
Would you, mate? And would you? I hope they do get a centre back, by the way, but we'll keep an eye. Right, in part three, we're going to squash out a couple of outgoings, potential outgoings. I'm going to throw some names at you, and let you guys know where you think they'll be playing next season. Will it be Anfield or will it be somewhere else? On the news, of course, that Calvin Ramsey looks like he might be on his way to Preston. We'll have a couple of chats about that and a few other things after this quick break. See you in a second.
Can you describe Bobby Firmino in one word?
Incredible.
Yeah, welcome back. Bobby Firmino, Best in the World, June 23rd. Episode 1 available on YouTube, completely free. Set your calendars, put it in your diary, etc., etc. Episode 2 straight away on the same day at redmenplus.com and Redmen Plus subscribers. You'll get early access on the 23rd as well.
.com.
Yeah, we all.
Did I say .com?
Yeah.
I mean, that's my browser history coming force of habit. And then also, there's a third part coming down the line as well. So yeah, Bobby Firmino, Best in the World, redmenplus.com.
Did you hear about the fella who was on a Zoom meeting and he put it into incognito mode to show them something on like a PowerPointy type thing Zoom, and because his muscle memory took over, because he'd put incognito mode on, loaded up pornhub.com
straight away.
Incognito pornhub.com and then just streamed it out. I was like, get in, lads.
Well, it's gonna be the fella who was a cat then for his court appearance.
I loved on the advert for when he first came up with incognito mode on apples and stuff. It was like, it's for when you're buying your wife a gift. And he's like, and he's sitting there on the computer, she walks in, and it's because he's been trying to buy her a ring. That's not what incognito, no one's ever used incognito mode for that in their lives. I can tell you exactly what we've all used.
It's the funny thing is, when you're on like an email thread with somebody, sometimes for what we do, you'd have to say to him, it's best to do it in incognito mode. No fella has ever come back and gone, what's that? But I have had emails from the other section, gone, what's that?
I don't know how to find the incognito mode. Yeah, just go clear your cookies. No, I don't have to do that. Well, you need to, you know, have you checked your settings? No, go into incognito mode. Sounds to straight away.
What are you talking about?
We've had a super chat from Hugo Santos. Says the only way not to lose Robbo's runs going forward is to turn the number 6 into the third centre back and perhaps make the double pivot with Trent and the left centre mid. Okay.
McAllister dropping back.
McAllister drops in and Robbo goes. Yeah. It makes sense. That could be the next evolution. It's a fair point. Right, then it was reported today, Dan, that Calvin Ramsey could be on his way to Preston on loan. Makes a lot of sense. He had to kick the ball. He's effectively lost a year of his career with a back injury and then a serious knee injury. So he looks like he could be on his way out. Mm-hmm. The latest reports are Liverpool are willing to loan Fabio Carvalho. We know that as well. Now Phillips looks like he could go. Reece Williams is available. I'm going to just throw a couple of maybe other names that are just your general thoughts. I'll go around the room, basically. But okay. Joel Matip, is he a Liverpool player next season?
Wow. Yes, I think he is. Yeah.
Anyone disagree?
What percent of a chance
do I give him staying? I think he's 75% likely to stay. I think if Liverpool got a bid of 12 million and over,
they bite your hand off.
Really bite your hand off. Anything below that, we may as well keep him for a year, in my opinion.
Anyone disagree? Matip, next year? No? Okay.
I was 70% for what it's worth. When I asked the question, I was thinking 70-30 for me. Okay.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think, I know Tsimikas said differently, but I'm going to throw him out there, Chloe.
Tsimikas,
you're my
Tsimikas. No, Tsimikas, right? It's all well and good saying you're going to fight for your place, but if you sign a left side of the centre half, he goes.
You're done.
Well, the second part was Liverpool at this time. Liverpool got no intention of signing him as things stand. Things can change.
Yeah, exactly.
Things
can not stand very, very quickly.
Our midfield last season. Didn't do any standing.
Me on my stand.
Well, maybe that was the problem. There was a lot of standing around.
Yeah. I was very much standing until the one point where I was on the floor collapsed. Chloe, do you think Kostas Tsimikas is at Anfield next season?
Depending if we don't.
No, Chloe, I want definitive answers.
Yes.
50-50.
I think he'll stay.
I'm very 50-50 on it. Because, quite simply, as you've just said there, if we sign one left footed centre back, he's gone.
Yeah.
You've got Thiago before. Is there anyone else in the first team squad who you think could be on the way? Potentially anyone?
Thiago for me is probably probably a 90-10 to stay. But my distrust of how we're going to balance the books this year gives him that 10%.
You want him to stay, though,
I want him to stay, definitely.
Yeah. The ultimate luxury player.
Yes, although there are concerns for me about what his role would be in this formation. Okay. I think he can absolutely play the 8, but you've just bought McAllister.
Mm.
You know what I mean? If there's one player who doesn't have a position, it might be Thiago.
He's got to beat McAllister. I think McAllister's a starter. He's got to do better than McAllister.
Can I throw one out there?
Can I just pick up on something there quickly? It's about Fabinho, essentially, or our 6. Because we've seen as a 4-3-3, our 6 has got to be this defensive destroyer, this physical beast. They win tackles, etc., etc. In this new formation, can they be more of a ball player? Because we've seen links to Lavia, who's definitely a ball playing 6. Pacetic is definitely a ball playing 6. Also, if it could be Thiago, for instance, is what I'm saying, he could go and do a ball playing 6 role as opposed to this tackling interception role. Is that more of a thing now with this new formation? Because you've got Trent alongside. We've seen the best of Fabinho because he had less running to do. Is there a world whereby that role gets easier, in inverted commas?
But definitely. Yeah, definitely. The one thing I sort of think about it is, you know, where have Liverpool been poor this season? Well, for me, it's been in transition. And even when we were good at the back end of the season, it was in transition. And that's where you need a ball hawk. You need someone to just go and get the fucking footy for you.
Yeah.
And I think that's where Fabinho's weakness was last season, is he just wasn't winning the ball back. And so for me, to plug into last season's end of season team, I want someone to go and get the ball. But, you know, things change, as you rightly say, and you can certainly do it without one.
Okay, I'm going to throw there quick. Joe Gomez.
Stays.
I think there's a belief that 2 years removed from the injury, you see what he's like.
Mm.
I think he'll stay. I wouldn't keep him.
You'd sell him over Joel Matip?
Yeah, I'd sell both of them. But you can't do that. I'd sell both.
If you as George Smadkin, he said you can sell one of these lads who's going.
Gomez.
Really?
Yeah.
I think
I think Matip's better than Gomez.
I think the ceiling for Gomez is still higher.
Yep,
1 year left on his deal, Joel Matip.
Take it. I'd sell Gomez, buy another one, and then keep Matip, let him run his contract out, and buy another one next year.
Okay.
That's what I would be looking at doing, really. I hope I'm wrong. I have thrown in the towel on getting any joy of Joe Gomez anymore.
Fair.
I hope I'm wrong. I hope he smashes it. Mm. But even post injury, he isn't for me. And we don't need him to be a backup right back anymore. We haven't got a right back. If Trent gets injured, then play it like Pacetic or Henderson or someone else. There's no way Joe Gomez is striding into midfield with the ball. It's not gonna happen. So that I liked him as the backup right back option, but now we don't have a right back. So for me, I actually think you'd get all that money for him, relatively speaking. Yeah. I think
another bad season, by the way, that's a good point, because another terrible season he's just had, you're not getting your money for him then.
The flip side is that there's Europa League, that he can certainly get more games than he's had, but that would be mine. There's no one else really, again, who's screaming out, even an option, even if a bid, most of the other players, Chloe, and that goes back to the squad isn't that bad. There are very few players who you'd even consider bids for. You know, like the goalie and the centre-backs and Salah and Gakpo and Diaz and Jota. There's no one else really going, defo go. The rest of them, or the young players you're investing in, what's the point? Because you're going to have to go with someone else. Which kind of, again, it does show the squad isn't the worst thing in the world if you can get these other problems right.
Yeah, but it also shows the importance of squad depth.
Yep.
Because we know that to reach the heights of what we want to reach next season, you're going to have to beat, you know, arguably one of the Premier League's greatest ever sides. And squad depth is so important. And these players, there's all reason to keep them. Even, you know, people don't like to hear it, but Fabio Carvalho, there's a reason to keep him for what he might do for you, whether we sell him at some point next year, maybe a bit more experience and his price goes up. So there's reasons for everyone in the team why we keep them. There are also reasons like Joel Matip, where if you did get a bid in and it was decent enough, I'd let him go to bring the money back in. But having squad depth is so important to do what we're trying to do. We've got helped out a little bit by Europa League, because it's not, you can't in the group stages of that, you can put out a second team, you can't do that in the Champions League, so we've got a little bit of help there. But every single body is very much needed.
Yeah, absolutely right. Then before we start wrapping up, Dan, what have you got going on this week? Dan's our expert insight guru, speaks to everybody.
Spoke to European football expert last night, on a Sunday, would you believe it, Alex Barker. Spoke a lot about Kevin Zaram, he was superb.
That goes out later on today.
Yeah, and he was boss. Like, I can't decide what clips to use socially because he was that good. Like, I got four or five written down. He was superb. He was recommended to me by our friend Sam Maguire as well, Alex, and he was absolutely superb. And then later on this week, yeah, loads more stuff going on, mate. Yeah, I've got a lot of bases covered, speaking to people far and wide. Last week was nuts for me. Like, it was just insane. But it's all good.
The Alexis McAllister reaction we had. Liverpool based, we had Brighton based, we were in Argentina,
mate. Honestly, it was boss, but it was chaotic.
It was chaotic. I had Neil Jones in. So Journo Insight, for those who don't know, is twice a week on Mondays and Thursdays. Neil's away on holiday actually after today, but we've replaced him. We've lined up David Lynch to come in hopefully as well on Thursday to cover that one. So if you want to get involved with those content, plus we're doing the Bias Transfer podcast after this as well. We'll touch, unfortunately, on Manchester City's Champions League. We're going to gloss over as quick as we can. We'll have a little chat about West Ham winning the European trophy, and then we're going to be looking at the goalkeeper merry-go-round, the likes of De Gea and Raya and Pickford and Lloris and Onana. They're all being linked with moves, so we're going to speak about that. That's available on the Bias Transfer podcast. That'll be coming up as well later on. If you want to check out all those amazing pieces of content, either in video or in podcast form, there's a deal on redmenplus.com, but it expires at midnight on Monday. At time of recording, that is in 9 hours' time. Head on over to redmenplus.com, sign up as a yearly club captain. If you use the code MAC10, MAC10, when you sign up as a yearly club captain, you'll get it for half price. Rather than paying 50 quid for the entire year, you'll pay 25. That will get you the Bobby Firmino documentary, all the McAllister reaction that we spoke about, all the shows we just talked about, and like I say, all of next season as well. When Liverpool reclaim all of their trophies that have found themselves down the M62, we're going back and we're going to get them all. You'll be there every step of the way with us, so do come and join us on Plus. Come and support the channel. You guys are the absolute best. Thanks for everyone who got involved.
Before you wrap up, are we on Twitch again now, Chloe?
Oh, yeah. Twitch is on Wednesday at 10:30. I think it's penciled in. Just for a big old chat, maybe play some FIFA, do some other stuff. And then on Thursday, it is the Premier League fixtures. So me and Chris have got a great show lined up that Thursday morning.
Have you planned that? Because I haven't planned it.
I think that's what I'm going to do. I think it's just at the Redmen TV.
It is, yeah.
There you go. Twitch, if you're into Twitch, go and sign up for the Redmen TV. Chloe will be playing FIFA.
Yeah, probably.
On Wednesday,
yeah.
And then load. That's coming back as well. So, yeah. Thanks for watching or listening to this episode of the Originals podcast. We'll see you in a bit for Biased over on Plus.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.